Welcome into Diamonds in the Desert. I'm Haley Stasiak, here with Jordan Hamm. The Diamondbacks are 5 games up on the Rockies. They split the series this past week, two losses in the first 2 games, and then took 2 wins to close things out, including the shutout on Thursday night. Going back to the weekend, though, they dropped 2-3 to the Padres. There were some weak links in that. They just couldn't make things happen. And then Saturday, Zach Godley had a pretty good start going 7 innings, and then Rodney came in and couldn't get the save, which is unusual from what we had seen. His last save was September 6th. So in that instance with that series with the Padres, it just seemed like things weren't clicking after that win streak.
Yeah, Pat Corbin had one of the best streaks in Major League Baseball in terms of just starts where he was able to really dominate a lineup, and he let the Padres hang around quite a few times. And the Padres aren't a good team, they aren't a good offense, but if you give a Major League roster enough chances, they're going to take advantage, and that's how they were able to score 10 runs on Friday night. And then the theme for these last 3 losses in the past week has been with the bullpen. You've gotten really good starts out of pretty much all 5 starters, but in the case of Saturday, Rodney had a pretty big blow up, and then later in the week you had Jake Barrett as well as Daniel Hernandez both have some pretty bad innings, and that led to the 3 losses. You could also make the argument, at least in that Colorado series, was run support. The Diamondbacks had some trouble on Tuesday's game scoring runs, but it seems like the bullpen's been the common theme, at least for those losses. But then on the other side, they've really showed up in those wins as well.
And speaking of the bullpen, it kind of seems like here and there, when there is a bit of a slump and the losses are kind of seeming a little bit more, I guess you could say, prevalent than they are, it seems to be we discuss the bullpen. And, I mean, we've always, seems all season, we've been discussing how strong the starting rotation is, but there's just those bullpen spots that need to be kind of adjusted and looked at more.
Yeah, I mean, and they're in the biggest moments late in the game, and, you know, there's you could say in the first 3 innings there aren't as many critical moments. So when that they don't deliver, it seems more prevalent. But they've also had series where they didn't give up a run. And Andrew Chafin, for the most part, has been a very good pitcher this year. Archie Bradley has been lights out. Fernando Rodney is either, as I've said earlier in the year, he's either fire in the arrow, and that's happened a lot more than the alternative. But when he doesn't, it's usually the bow breaks, the arrow goes in his foot, he then trips on a log fire, and then a bus runs him over.
What an analogy.
It really, things, when it rains, it pours in that case. But overwhelmingly, he's been very good, but you see that high ERA, it's because he's giving up 3 earned runs at a time. But most of the time, he's been very good, and especially for the price that they've gotten him for, that was a great investment by Mike Hazen and this D-backs club. So, yeah, it's been a little up and down the last 2 series, but, I mean, you can kind of say this about the entire club, but the 4 or 5 series before that, when the win streak was going, everything was clicking, and you could have had, you know, Lovello come out and throw an inning, and he probably would have had a shutout inning.
I mean, with the win streak and then coming in and losing to the Padres, obviously not ideal, but coming out of that, those 2 games with the Padres that were losses, Robbie Ray had a lights out outing on Sunday. He had 12 strikeouts. I mean, he's just the strikeout king, we could call him, for this rotation. But then J.D. Martinez on Monday morning was named National League Player of the Week. So you had some highlights in there, too, before the Rockies series came in. But on the topic of that J.D. Martinez honor, he was named Player of the Week for the week ending on September 10th. He had 8 runs, 12 hits, a double, 7 home runs, and 11 RBIs over 6 games. It was his first National League honor and his 5th of his career. So kind of a good day for J.D. in that.
He's been I think you could make the argument he's been, him and Curt Schilling are the 2 greatest mid-season acquisitions that the Diamondbacks have ever made. In the last 7 games, 15 for 29, 10 runs scored, 5 home runs, 9 RBIs, a stolen base. He also plays serviceable defense. You know, in the case of, I know he's not healthy right now, but with a Yasmani Tomas out there, you never really knew what was going to happen, but he had the big bat. With Gregor Blanco and Ray Fuentes, very good defenders, but they're known more for their gloves. JD is giving you a little bit of both. And when you put him in an outfield with very good defenders in David Peralta and AJ Pollock, you're not asking too much of JD Martinez. You can let him focus on hitting, but he's been absolutely phenomenal. The nickname now is Just Dingers for JD. I'm sure the Diamondbacks are already trying to concoct ways to find some space in the salary cap to try to get him, or in the payroll, I should say, to get him a long term for this team, because I think that would be a great pairing. Obviously, a very small sample size. He's not going to be hitting 500 guys for the entirety of his Diamondbacks career, should it be multiple years. But he's more than delivered. So he's been a great addition and has really helped extend that lineup and make things easier on all the other hitters in that lineup.
Let's go deeper into this Rockies series, because it's something that we will probably see at the beginning of October. Yep. With the wild card. So, obviously, we mentioned Jake Barrett on Monday, not doing well at all. Mm-hmm. And Zach Greinke was the starter that night. He went 7 innings and allowed 2 runs on 5 hits with 6 strikeouts. Then Hoover comes in and gets an out, and Chapin comes in and gets an out. And then Barrett comes in and kind of lets things get away from him and allows 3 runs and then finally gets an out. So, with that, we talk about the weak link of the bullpen, but there's some highlights with the bullpen too, and one person that I want to kind of highlight with that is Jimmy Scherfy. He has been, it seems like, a constant in the bullpen, a guy that can come out and get the job done. He's holding a 0 ERA. He's appeared in 7 games since being called up from Reno, and in the 8th inning on Wednesday's series, he went a whole inning, 1-2-3, and was able to get things done there. So, we talk about the bullpen having some issues, obviously, specifically with Jake Barrett on Monday, and that was really the highlight of that. But there are some highlights there, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And Archie Bradley, I don't think you could ask for a more consistent relief pitcher in the back end of this bullpen. And Jake struggled, but we've also seen him when he first got called up and was finally healthy. We saw a very long string of him being a very effective relief pitcher, and that's how he was last year as well. I argued that he was the best reliever from that 2016 team that no one really watched because they were pretty much last place in the NL West. But he is struggling, and you're seeing the rosters expand. There are more arms now. Torrey Lovello is, as we say almost every show, he's a very intentional man. He has a process. He thinks everything out. I'm sure he's still trying to get the gauge on all the new arms that he has in that bullpen and how he's going to delegate that. And one other thing is, come playoff time, they could conceivably throw out Greinke, Walker, Robbie Ray, and that's it for their starters. You could fashion it that way. I if I had to guess, I don't think Torrey would do that. I think he might go 4, but then you also have another starter that you can now take out of the bullpen. I think Zach Godley is probably the best one suited for that, since he did that last year. So that's even another arm that he needs to figure out as they continue this. But with the playoffs, especially now with the wild card, you have to win that one game. And then you have to figure things out real quickly for that division series, because that team is already rested. You're either a Robbie Ray or a Zach Greinke short in that rotation. You know, you're going to need a couple days for one of those guys to bounce back. But you need to there's not much time to figure out the process with how all of these arms are going to eat up those 9 innings.
And you mentioned how he's going to use these arms. Another arm that got brought up was Anthony Banda, and obviously he didn't have a great start in his last major league appearance, but he's an arm that could be potentially used in relief appearances. It's just a matter of finding the right time to test that out. I think with Jake Barrett on Monday to start that Rockies series, better to get it done and figure it out that first game than that third game when they've already won two and you're trying to keep them from winning the series. So the way, again, back to that mythology, I think he has a method of it. It's just a matter of figuring out when the good time to do it is.
Yeah, and I think in the case of Banda, look, the four starts that he made this year were against Washington, at San Francisco, against the Dodgers, and against Houston.
Right.
So he's faced the best of the best. When you're in the playoffs, you're going to face a team of that quality. And you saw those glimpses for an inning or two where he, and in the case against the Giants, he shut them down. He outpitched Madison Bumgarner that time.
Yeah.
Now, they're not going to ask him to start. They're not going to ask him probably to go more than an inning, I would imagine, maybe two. So you put that small bit of pressure on him, see how he goes. And like we've said, Torrey has a process for everything, so I'm sure he will have a short leash and a safety net underneath whenever they bring him in.
On the topic of other weak links or places of improvement that we think we need to see in these next couple weeks before we get to postseason, one thing that I believe needs to be worked on, and you would think that at the major league level this isn't necessarily something that does need to be worked on, but it's the base running. I think smart running, tagging up, that seemed to have been an issue those first couple games against the Rockies. Mm-hmm. And then there was just a couple coaching things where, I mean, gauging if the ball's going to come home. I know Brandon Drury was called out at home, I believe, on Monday. And that was a coaching thing. He sent him. But you got to be smarter about that. That's mm-hmm. little things that are going to hurt you big time.
Yeah, that's make or break in the postseason. Everything is magnified. Every little moment, if you can get that extra 90 feet, that completely changes the dynamic of the game. That completely changes the dynamic of the series. So, yeah, that is definitely something that they need to shore up. I'm going to say we've seen glimpses from, I think Daniel Descalzo is the most consistent middle infielder right now, and I know they've been riddled with injuries, but seeing a consistent Ketel Marte, which is, he's mm-hmm. starting to come around, seeing a consistent Brandon Drury, who had a great start to the year but has dropped off a little bit, Daniel Descalzo. I know it's hard when you're platooning those positions, but when you look at this lineup, you have Chris Iannetta predominantly behind the plate. He's hitting really well right now. Jake Lamb is struggling, but you're not going to take that guy out of the lineup just for the capabilities that he has. Paul Goldschmidt is Paul Goldschmidt. Of course he's going to be in. And then the outfield, you have established veterans in Martinez, AJ Pollock, who is also starting to come around.
Oh, yeah.
He's really struggled, but in the series he had 2-4 RBI games. So you kind of saw that explosion, and moving him down to seventh even extends that lineup even further.
Right.
David Peralta has been quietly one of the better players on this team, and no one is talking about him, but he's consistently hitting right around 300, scoring a lot of runs. You know what he does for the clubhouse. You see the fake fights he gets in with guys when he doesn't high-five his teammates first. And
some entertainment.
Yeah, and he's, as I said before, an above-average outfielder. But then you look at that middle infield, and I would say right now at second base, the guy is Descalzo, and at shortstop right now, the guy is Ketel Marte. They've both been good, but if you can shore that up even more and get some productivity out of them, and they're in positions where they don't really have, they're not necessarily in the run-producing positions, but you want to make sure that those guys are ready to go. Descalzo and like Gregor Blanco and J.D. Martinez are a few of the guys who have made deep playoff runs. So I think Descalzo also brings some value in that. But that's definitely an area I'm keeping an eye on. I think they've done a good job so far. But definitely when you're nitpicking the lineup, the middle infield is the one that goes, okay, this is where I feel least sure thing. And I know that's not really fair. Also, when you're next to a guy like Paul Goldschmidt.
Right. Looking forward, the Diamondbacks are in San Francisco this weekend for three games, and then they head south to San Diego, and then they are back home for the last homestand of the regular season against the Marlins and the Giants, and then they close things out in Kansas City. I honestly can't believe how fast this regular season's gone by.
I was just thinking the same
thing. As we look at those four series.
Yeah, on ESPN, they have like the next 15 days set out for the starting rotation of who it's going to be, and mm-hmm. I'm like, tomorrow they will have the completed season for that. Like it seems
unreal.
Like we were at opening day just
it
last
really
week. So
it really does. It's been a fun one.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been fortunate enough to have a good team out here finally, it right. seems, with Arizona Pro Sports to keep an eye on and follow.
And an aggressive front office
yes.
that both in the offseason made some under-the-radar additions and obviously the huge splash with Martinez. So it's been interesting the entire time. And even you go back to, you know, a guy like Shelby Miller, you know, how right. how would he respond after a rough 2016? And then how do they replace him after injury? There's been a lot of storylines that we didn't foresee that have right. have made this team very intriguing.
And not to get ahead of ourselves on these next couple weeks, and obviously, hopefully, the postseason, you would think. But it's going to be an exciting offseason for the Diamondbacks as well. But, again, we'll get through these next few weeks in the postseason and have fun with that.
Magic number is 8.
There
so that
go.
That's the, you know, we mentioned... you know, the win streak and the records and all of that, they're 5 games above the Rockies, but the most important number currently for this team is the number 8.
That's what we've got for you this week on Diamonds in the Desert. Be sure to check out sports360az.com for more baseball content. Thanks for joining us.